The time that we want to spend with our Lord this morning is to contemplate Isaiah chapter 40, a portion of which we had for our scripture reading. Isaiah chapter 40, there in verses 27 to 31. Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 27 to 31. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. We're trying to search for the meaning in this scripture today, and it has some interesting contents as you meditate about it there. Are you young today? Do you feel full of energy, young men? What does it say here in verse 30? Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Young people have energy, don't they? They are full of beans, as they say. But here it says, no matter how full of energy you may be, the difficulties that we can faint at will be too much for even the power of youth. The energy. If you turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. We read here that the Apostle John is writing to young people. Why? He's speaking to young people as well as to fathers. It says in verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men or women, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. He has written unto the young people, because why? You are strong. Strong. What is the strength that he is talking about here? What does it have to do with to be strong? Is it strong to go along and have a late night somewhere in a pleasure resort? You can go and wail the night away because you're so strong. Is that what it's talking about? Is it talking about plenty of strength to go into the sports field, to have lots of fun out there? Is that what it's talking about? What's it talking about? Because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Oh, that's strange. That's a lot of people who associate strength is with having plenty of energy to do what we want to do. But here it says, having strength to overcome the wicked one. Who's that? That's the devil, isn't it? Say, are you strong enough to overcome the devil? How strong is the devil? Ever thought about that? How strong is the devil? He was the very top angel of heaven. And angels are extremely strong, aren't they? They're much stronger than we are. And just because he fell into sin doesn't mean he lost his strength. It only takes one angel, when you look in the Bible, to cause the whole city to shake. Satan is very strong, much stronger than us. So what is the strength that John is talking about here? Did you remember what we read there in Isaiah? It says, even the young men will fall, utterly fall, under this power. So this is the question that we want to think about here. What is it that humanity faints at? When somebody faints, they faint because they're weak. They're like this boy in the story. He was ready to faint because he was cold and hungry. But what is here talked about that we could faint at? Let's continue with the thought of young people in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. There it introduces us where our useful energies are to be centered. Ezekiel chapter 12. Verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now those of us who are getting on in years, I don't quite feel like that yet, but there are some people, they take no pleasure in the weariness of age as it comes upon them. It's not fun anymore. They've lost their get up and go. If you don't want to lose your get up and go, do what God tells you to do. It'll keep you energetic. But here it says, and then it describes old age. When you have no pleasure in old age. He says, now in the days of your youth, remember your Creator. And your Creator, who loved you. John 14:15, if you love me, what? What does Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Remember your Creator. Love him. In the days of your youth. Because as you get older, you don't have that youthful energy anymore. And most of all, when you are a young person, a child, and God comes and speaks to you, can some of you remember when you were a child and you listened to the Bible stories? You said, oh, I want to love Jesus. I want to be with him. Isn't that what children often say? I never forget the story as I was studying in the home of a family where the little girl, she was 6-7 years of age, she says, she was at school, and they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? She said, when I grow up, I want to be like Jesus. I thought, oh, what a beautiful statement. Well, this young girl is now about 25 years of age, and she doesn't love Jesus now. She doesn't keep his commandments now. And when every now and then when I see her, I said, when I grow up, I want to be like Jesus. You won't let me forget that, will you? She said. No. Because when you are little, you have a believing mind. Remember now, your Creator in the days of your youth, while you still haven't been ruined by Satan's sophistries. So let's come back to where John was talking about that in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. There we were reading in verse 14. Let's go back to verse 13 and then go right through to verse 17. And we will pick up the picture of that, what it is that you may be ready to face with. 1 John chapter 2 again, verse 13 through to 17. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now notice. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, what? The love of the Father is not in him. Say, when you were a little child, did you love Jesus? Children, do you love Jesus? Is he wonderful to you? As we were meditating last week and the week before, when we looked at Jesus, doesn't it touch your heart that he went through such terrible sufferings and you love him? But what does it say? What does it mean to faint? What is meant in the Bible? It says, you are strong, but don't love the world. Because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, now notice what he says. What's in the world? What does he say? Don't love the world. What does that mean? All the things that are in the world, what are they? The lust of the flesh. What does that mean? I desire to have fun. I want the feeling of good food. I want the feeling of dancing in the world. I like the feeling of boys paying attention to me if I'm a girl, and girls paying attention to me if I'm a boy, and all that sort of thing. That is called the lust of the flesh. The desire. That's what it says. Let's read on. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. You like to look upon things that aren't really good for you. And the pride of life is in the world. These are not of the Father, but are of the world. And what happens with all the things that you want to enjoy in the world? All the fun that you want to have? Dancing, singing, being happy. What will happen one day? Here it says, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, it's all going to pass away. You can see it already today, can't you? The people who had fun in Fiji, what happened? They went there to have fun. What happened? All their fun was shattered. The fun that they had in Indonesia, the fun that people have in different places, like that time when Hurricane Katrina took place. What? It was all over, wasn't it? Remember that city, the city of fun. And it came to an end, but only temporarily as a warning. Because it says here, it will all pass away. So don't love it, because it's useless. God, Jesus, is worth loving. And if you love the world, which will pass away, you'll pass away with it, and there won't be any more fun. But if you stay with the Father, the love of the Father, then we will live to have joy of love forever. Listen to Jesus as we turn to Matthew 24, verse 12 and 13. Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13. Love, remember? The love of the world or the love of God? What does it mean to saints? In our scripture, as we were reading in Isaiah, it says here in verse 12 and 13 of Matthew 24. We're living in this time, it says, because iniquity shall abound. You know what the word iniquity means? It means lawlessness. Because everybody wants to have fun and not be under the control of authority, of law. Because lawlessness abounds. Isn't that true today? Everywhere they are disobeying the laws and having fun. Because that abounds, what happens with the love of God in the heart? What happens with that? It says, the love, Jesus said that, the love of many will grow cold. Is that what's happening? But notice verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And what is the world like today? It is lawless. No love for God. Sin is all around us, and what does it do to us? It makes us thankful. The love that you once had fades out of your life. You want to enjoy the world after all. It's too hard to follow Jesus, isn't it? Is that what many people say? It's too hard to follow Jesus. It's too hard to keep the commandments. Because, as it says in Timothy, in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And all the way through it deals with all the terrible things that are happening, and one of them is disobedience to parents. Oof. How rich that is today, isn't it? Do children obey their parents? Children, do you obey your parents? What does obedience mean? That when Daddy says something, you will do exactly what he says. Is that what you do? All the time? Be honest. Be honest. If you don't like what Daddy tells you to do or Mommy tells you to do, what do you do? I'll go quietly and do what I want to do, thank you. Is that right? Okay. That's what happens. I never forget, I was talking to one of my children as they were little, and I said to them, "Did you hear what Mummy said? Oh, Mummy, I love you, but I don't want to do what you told me to do, because that girl of mine said, I love you, Mum, but I'm not going to do what you told me to do. Is that love? No. If you love me, keep my commandments," said Jesus. And that means keep them. And we're living today in this perilous time where people are fainting. I want to read it here very beautifully identified in Review and Herald, June 8, 1897. Here it says, Jesus, it says, "The Lord God of heaven, the Lord God of heaven knew what a deadening influence the abounding iniquity would have upon the chosen believers. What a paralyzing power it would be against piety and true loyalty to God. It will paralyze them." That's the peril in which we live today. In giving us the statement of the occurrences which would mark the approach of the second advent of our Lord and Savior, Christ says, "Because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold." We see this fulfilled to the letter now. The experience of many is becoming dwarfed and sickly and wonderfully deformed. What is happening to the people who are claiming to be Christians? The experience that they have is becoming dwarfed. How do you feel when a little old man comes walking in and he's as short as a 2-year-old, 3-year-old boy? You feel funny, don't you? That's the way that Christians are. In majority today, they are dwarfs in God's kingdom, and sickly, and wonderfully deformed. You know, as a nurse, I went and looked at some deformed people, monsters. And with my medical eye, I look at people today and I see the same thing, even though physically they're not monsters. They are terribly deformed. The most beautiful people look ugly to me because they've got the lust of the flesh pouring out of their system. Everything that surrounds us creates an atmosphere that is saturated with unrighteousness. Is that right? Even under the most faithful surroundings today, even under the most faithful surroundings, it is difficult to hold fast the Christian profession of faith unto the very end. Remember Jesus said, "Those who will endure," it's endurance. It's an endurance test. Can you feel it? The endurance test. I mean, the people in the world, they go and race their cars and see how far they can endure. And even in their sports, they go through endurance tests and they say, "Ray, this is lovely." Well, come on, let's be strong. Let's go through an endurance test in real terms. To be faithful when the peril of iniquity is all around us. Yes, Jesus said it. So it goes on to say, to stand decidedly and earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints is difficult today. You know, it's all old-fashioned. Let's keep up with the times. That's the pressure. But it is most difficult. Now notice, not only is it hard because iniquity abounds around us, but it says it is most difficult to keep true and loyal to God's holy commandments when there are few in number to help and encourage one another. And when those very people who are few in number are sickly and ready to die because they do not honor God by keeping his commandments truly and loyally. Is this our problem today? Even when those who are few in number, who are still trying to hang on to the pure principles, are sickly and they can hardly keep themselves spiritually awake, how can they help me? And I'm sickly and I can hardly help them. It's really hard, isn't it? Much so-called Christianity passes for genuine, faithful soundness, but it is because those who profess it have no persecution and endure for the truth's sake. That's why, because it's not hard, it's easy. But when the day comes, when the law of God is made void, that's empty, the law is no longer upheld, and the church is sifted with fiery trials that are to try all that live upon the earth, a great proportion of those who are supposed to be genuine will give up to heed seducing spirits. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, Satan doesn't come to us today as an ugly creature. He comes to us, come and listen to some music. My music. Just put a little tinge of dance music with spiritual music. Now, but you like that? Yes? Come a bit closer now. And you start enjoying the music of the dance floor as well. Right. So they heed seducing spirits and will turn traitors and betray sacred trust. They will prove our very worst persecutors. If you really want to follow today the truth all the way, I tell you, brethren, I'm speaking of personal experience. I have made a decision when I was 16 years of age, already at 12 I wanted to follow the Lord. When I made my decision at 16 down to 20, 21, I decided I'm going to go all the way with the Lord. You know what happened to me? I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of, not worldly friends, friends in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I lost them. Because I was a freak. I was absolutely over the top. Get out of here. Why? Because I chose to remain loyal to my Lord. And that is what I just read about here. I thank God for the revelation of his word of what I must expect in today's experience. I must not faint. And how will I faint? When I start looking at all the corruptions around me and I begin to feel tempted. I think I'll watch a little bit of television today. It's not so bad. I can handle it. Down I go. I think I'll just go and eat a little bit of something I never ate before. Down I go. And very quickly, I lose my spiritual muscle. I become paralyzed. Because everybody around me, the great majority, are not listening to a thus saith the Lord. So, if we go back to 1 John 2, what did it say there? You will overcome the wicked one. That's what we read there, didn't we? The reason for making it so hard today, it's not that the way of God's kingdom is a hard path, it's a joyful path. It's lovely to walk with Jesus. It's great joy. I love Jesus. He is a wonderful person. And the lifestyle of Jesus is wonderful. To have the Creator of the universe draw near to you, to comfort your heart, to warm you with His presence, there is no sensation like it in the world. None whatsoever. I've had several sensations in the world. That's nothing in comparison. The reason why it is so hard today to be loyal and true is not because the path is hard, it's because Satan makes it hard. We are in a conflict. We are battling against Satan's effort to destroy you. And as he is in control of the multitudes around you, they're all having fun, so they think. But tell me, what's happening to the youth suicide rate lately? Youth suicide has nearly quadrupled from 1963. Why? The youth are having fun. Why are they killing themselves? Because while they're having fun, they suddenly discover it's empty. It's yuck. After a few years, just like the prodigal son. And then, what's the use of living? Finish. They are fainting and they will utterly fall. That's what we read. In a time when youth relish a challenge, and that's what John is writing about, I write unto you young people, because what? You enjoy a challenge, don't you? Wow, if I can win this race, if I can do this, if I can do the other thing, I can achieve something. In such a time when youth enjoy a challenge, do you know why so many young men are in the army? You know why? They have fun in there. Wow. We're going to win the war. We're going to have real strategy learning so that we can beat the enemy. Challenge. That's why they go to war. Look at what Jesus says through the Bible in Ephesians 6. We who like a challenge. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 13. And here is the call. Don't faint. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong. Where? Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that seducing spirit. Remember? It's good music. It's lovely. It feels good. It's real, a sensation which I want to follow. Seducing. That's how he did it. How did he do it with Eve? Tastes good. Feels good, full of pride, I can become a queen. Isn't that the way it is with the girls today? They like to become models. Why? Then they become little queens. And all the men will go, wow, that's the way it is. But here it says, resist that. That's the wiles of the devil. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Who are they? The devil and his angels. against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There's the challenge. When you can feel all the challenges of being drawn into the world of today and being paralyzed, you go, no, I'm going to fight against all that. I'm going to love Jesus. And I'm going to put away the terrible things of the world, because if I go that way, I'll probably end up one of the statistics. Youth suicide. Yes. That's where they go. And then if you don't let up and use suicide, you'll end up like the people in Fiji. Off on a beautiful holiday, he comes away. Finished. You know, that really makes my heart ache sometimes when I look at some of those beautiful people that just got married. That happened in Rotorua when I was in New Zealand. They just got married. Can you imagine the bliss? And they were sleeping together on their honeymoon, and they just found dead the next morning. Why? Because the vents of the heating leaked, and the gas, the sulfur gas that was used to heat the rooms, was leaking out, and it killed them in their sleep. When I saw them, the pictures beforehand, my heart ached. Beautiful people. But their fun was gone like that. You see? Whereas if you follow Jesus, if that were to happen to you, you know that because the love of the Father is in you, you will have eternal life. So indeed, we have a challenge, brethren and sisters, young people. We have a challenge. Do you want to win the battle? Do you want to conquer the devil? Wouldn't that be wonderful? What's the devil doing? He's trying to draw you seducingly. He's seducing you. You can see, I can see you. I'm not going down that path. Bye. This is the privilege. Put on your armor. Fight the battles of the Lord. And when do you have to do it today? What is our experience? We read it before, and I'll read it again in another expression in Testimony Volume 5. In these times in which we live, believe me, this statement is directly relevant. On page 136, paragraph 2, it says, now is the time for God's people to show themselves true to principle. When the religion of Christ is most held in contempt, when his law is most despised, then, when everybody's going the wrong way, then should our zeal be the warmest, and our courage and firmness the most unflinching, to stand in defense of truth and righteousness when the majority forsake us, to fight the battles of the Lord when champions are few. This will be our test. At this time, how are you going to get courage now? You know what it's like. You get into a big crowd and they all carry you along with the swell of their power. And you think, oh, that's wonderful. But no, it's a tiny little remnant, the Bible says. So small of people. What can they do in the world? And everybody is failing, and even they're a little sickly. And it says, at this time, we must gather warmth from the coldness of others. It's a reverse psychology today. If you're going to be a Christian, you must gather courage from their cowardice and loyalty from their treason. As you see people falling down like flies around you spiritually, you say, that's not going to happen to me. You gather strength from others' failures. Too bad, they've gone that way, that's their choice. I'm making a different choice. That's what is needed now. In a time, as we were reading in Isaiah 40, when even the youth shall faint and utterly fall. We're living in that time. In that time, if we will wait on the Lord, what will we do? What did I read? Let's go back. Those that wait on the Lord, Isaiah 40, verse 29 to 31. It said, He giveth power to the faint in verse 29. God will give you power. You're too weak. God will give you power. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. We are living in the time of what is written in another scripture that says, if you can't keep up with the footmen, how will you handle the horses? You see, in this battle, there are footmen that have to run fast. In the army, you have to gather strength so that you can run, you can march for hours and hours. And if you can't keep up with those energies of spiritual power, how will you succeed to keep up with the horsemen? It says here that the Lord will give you strength. He will renew our strength, and we will soar as the eagles, as you look at the program of today. Above the clouds, above the depression of the darkness beneath, you will soar like the eagle. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I grew up in the Seventh Day Adventist Church. I had many that I went to school with in the Seventh Day Adventist school. Do you know that those people that I went to school with, those people that I went to the Sydney Adventist Hospital with, are no longer with me today. They don't love the Lord like I have been taught in the Word. They still hold certain doctrines, but they rejected the other ones that they grew up with. You know, when I came from Germany, I was a meat eater. I ate flesh. And I came into the Adventist school here in Australia, and I had sardines on my sandwiches. And all the boys came around and said, John, you shouldn't be eating sardines. I said, what's wrong with that? You see, the Australian Seventh-day Adventists were still strict vegetarians. But today, what's the difference? They wouldn't say to me now, John, what are you doing if I ate flesh? Yeah, just had some more. They had some very strict principles that came from the Bible to show what we must do in these last days. And then, as I grew up with these people, we started to do all the things, and I had to pull myself away. And today, with you together, there's not many others. And there are many people that are coming into my proximity now that are having to learn what I have had years to learn. We have to learn it in a few short months. So indeed, we are encouraged to get our strength from God so we don't faint. To faint means to go the way of the world. That's what it means to faint. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. Here it is. Because of God will strengthen us, it says, for this cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, right? It's an affliction. We have difficulties because Satan is trying to destroy us. But this is called our light affliction, which is but for a moment, just passes today and tomorrow is different, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They will pass away, as we read in 1 John. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal. What are we fighting for? We are fighting for the things that we don't see, the beautiful things that faith shows us. And we're living in a time now when people's faith is growing cold, their love is growing cold. What must we do? Hold on tight. I want to conclude our meditation here with another beautiful, inspired statement, which comes from Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 140. Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 140. And this beautifully summarizes the things we have just been contemplating. It says here, the way of transgressors is hard. That comes in Proverbs 13:15. The way of transgressors is hard. It looks good to start with. But wisdom's ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. You know, when I read that, sometimes I think, I don't know whether that's true. Because to follow in the paths of God, it's hard. And it seems like the transgressors are having a good time. But no, it's true. The ways of wisdom are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Every act of obedience to Christ, every act of self-denial for his sake, every trial well endured, every victory gained over temptation is a step in the march to the glory of final victory. Challenge? Everything you go through, conquer it, and it's a step to strengthen you for the next to final victory. If we take Christ for our guide, he will lead us safely. The various sinners need not miss his way. No matter how sinful we are, we don't need to miss the way if we follow Jesus. Not one trembling seeker need fail of walking in the pure, holy light. Remember the story of the little boy? Was he trembling? Yes, he was. He was seeking, and he finally found. Yes. Though the path is narrow, so holy that sin cannot be tolerated therein, yet access has been secured for all, and not one doubting, trembling soul need say, God cares naught for me. That was the first text that we read there in Isaiah 40. Israel is saying, the Lord cares not for me. I'm, my way is hopeless. He said, don't you know? God is different to what you think. Indeed, the road may be rough and hard and the ascent steep. There may be pitfalls upon the right hand and upon the left. We may have to endure toil in our journey. When weary, when longing for rest, we may have to toil on. When faint, we may have to fight. When discouraged, we must still hope. But with Christ as our guide, we shall not fail of reaching the desired haven at last. Christ himself has trodden the rough way before us and has smoothed the path for our feet. Remember there when he was suffering in Gethsemane and at the cross? He went through it. And if you read your bulletin, I noticed there, it's a beautiful meditation of what he went through. And all the way up the steep road leading to eternal life, as you travel along there, there are wellsprings of joy to refresh the victory, the weary. When we come together and we study God's word, it's refreshing. And we can talk together of the love of the Lord. It's refreshing. Those who walk in wisdom's ways are even in tribulation exceeding joyful. That's a contradiction. Tribulation and happy? What did the people who were burnt at the stake do? You remember when they were burning the believers at the stake? What were they doing? They were singing. They weren't unhappy. So at each upward step, they discern more distinctly the touch of his hand. Oh, I can feel God close to me. What a sensation. At every step, brighter gleamings of glory from the unseen fall upon their path. And their songs of praise, reaching ever a higher note, ascend to join the songs of the angels before the throne. Isn't that a beautiful, inspired word? So, if we go to the source of all strength, with our hands of faith outstretched to receive, we shall be sustained in our work, even under the most forbidding circumstances, and shall be enabled to give others the bread of life. I love that statement. Brethren, you know, I'm here with you today because I have managed to survive so far. I have reached out to the source of my strength. I've lost much. It's been the most forbidding circumstances in my life. And I can testify to you, the Lord has enabled me to fight on. What does it say? Faint not. Two Bible texts. If you're taking notes, read them in Isaiah 35, verse 3 and 4, and in Hebrews 12, verses 12 and 13. Lift up, in Hebrews says, lift up your weary arms and your shaking knees. Don't faint. Take your source of strength from the Lord and you will again get strength. Yeah, that happens to me so many times. I'm very tired. I get giddy. But I turn to the Lord and he revives me again. You know what I get giddy with? The terrible mind twists as I'm laboring for souls. It gets hard. And people's confused minds get my brain working and it gets giddy as I take hold of God's word. And there I am driving home and I'm just about, ooh. And then the Lord gives me sleep and the next day, good as gold. The Lord is our strength. He will restore everyone who is fainting and prevent them from falling, like the youth that we read of. May God grant us, young people, please, fight the good fight of faith. Don't let the world take you away. Jesus is worthwhile living for, and I praise his name. Amen. Father, we thank you for your beautiful word that is relevant to us today, especially where it speaks of our time, and we can see that what is written there is very true. And Father, as we realize that this world hasn't much more time, that it is about ready to fall apart. Global warming stares everybody in the face. Men's hearts are failing them for fear for the things that are coming upon this planet. They can see the writings of destruction in the very earth. We know that we are living on borrowed time. Lord, I pray for every soul that is bowed here, who is tempted to faint spiritually. Grant us, Lord, to take hold of what we have just been reading, to let you, Father, Lord Jesus, fill us with new resolve and new strength, that we will be able to soar as the eagle, to be able to run and not faint and not be weary. Father, may the realities of Jesus be our constant study, so that the strength that we are reading of will be ours, and we will not be like the youth that will utterly fall. But because we wait upon you, your promises are true. And Father, as we realize the terrible peril that surrounds us by what we are reading in faith, grant us indeed not to let our love grow cold. For we want to endure unto the end. Father in heaven, forgive us. Forgive us for our laxities. Help us to pick up on the challenge that you lay before us, that when champions are few, we may be among the final champions. Bless us to this end, Lord. Let us champion your cause. Help us to indeed reject Satan and his wily activities, his soft and subduing temptations. Help us to reject them vehemently. And so, Father, we commit into your hands our young people here. Please help them to realize that if they choose to seek for the love of this world, that there is no happiness ahead of them. Grant this to them before it is too late. We commit ourselves into your loving care for the rest of this day. May the hours of the Sabbath be indeed like a fountain of refreshing water. Help us not to pollute it so that it is refreshing to us. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.